Awesome. Okay, well, tonight we have Miss Chris Maddox. Will you go ahead and come up, dear? Who's going to come and share her transformation story. We've been talking about how God doesn't just impact us at salvation, you know, but every day since then, he's doing something. And so we wanted different people in our body to come and just share their story and his story in our story. So this is Chris Maddox, who's been here, I don't even know how long, since the beginning, close to anyway.
6 or 7 years
or so, yeah. I just know that when Chris and I first visited, my husband Chris and I first visited, we ran into Chris, and I just thought she was the most amazing greeter ever, because by the end of the service, she had us meeting like all the staff and the leadership or whatever, and she was hustling and a bustling or whatever, and we're like, man, this lady like wants you to join when you come to this church. Like, it was so good. She made us feel so welcome. Oh, and let me get that. And it's okay. Well, no, I know, but it was just, you were so good. I'm like, man, she's helping us meet every, you know, a lot, tons of people. But anyway, was immediately the person that made us feel welcome and at home here. So have gotten to know and love her, and little Micah and stuff too is my son's best bud. So without further ado, I'm going to pray real quick for her and just for her words tonight. If you'll just bow with me. Father, we bless Chris, and I just thank you, God. Just, you are so tremendously faithful, God. And so I just thank you that you were ever present throughout our stories, and you've been through Chris's. And God, we just give you the glory in her story. And I ask, God, that you will just highlight whatever it is you want us to take away from her story, whatever impartation, favor, encouragement. Lord, would you just open up our hearts to be good soil for your word tonight. We love you. And just release peace over Chris, God, and direct her words, Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. And here's Chris. Let's stand and honor her, please.
I'm gonna hide behind her. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you, Cindy. She is. I almost ran her and Chris over to make sure they met everybody I could get them to meet before they left that day. We still joke about it. When praying about this, it was so funny. It's not, I told this to a friend the other day. I don't feel like this is my story at all. It's so simple for me. I really do know that it's his story, that I'm just part of the picture. When I was praying about it, I really knew it was about freedom and destiny, because it's what it is to me, freedom and destiny. I believe I met Jesus for the very first time when I was about 5 years old. I had snuck away with the little girl in our neighborhood where my grandmother lived. Her grandmother owned a little store where you could get a Coke and a candy bar for like nothing. And I went with her to church. They never asked me, does someone know where you are? I just went with her. And I remember laying on the floor with her. And it was a little tiny house where they had church. And it was an all-black church. There were no instruments, but when they sang and they clapped, you could feel the floor shake. And so we laid on the floor, and we giggled, and we giggled. And I remember her grandma saying, do you know Jesus loves you? And I didn't. And I remember her grandma talking to me about it, and I just felt like I'd been tickled all over. As a kid, that's all I could describe, like I'd just been tickled all over. To me, right then and there is when I met Jesus. Tickled on that floor with her grandma. From the time I was born till I was about 11 years old, we moved about 13 times. From one side of the country to the other, kind of back and forth. My mother was a very young mother. By the time she was 24, 23, she had 7 children. She had a crew. Um, one of the times that we moved, I often moved just me. For whatever reason, I'm not sure, but oftentimes we would be separated. I'm sure because she couldn't take care of all of us sometimes. And for whatever reason, the oldest one usually gets somewhere, and then you split up the others. And I had something occur on one of those moves that I've shared with maybe a handful of people in my life. And I felt led to share it because God said so. One of the places I lived, I had an extended family member who molested me for about 2 years. And at the time, told me that he did it because I deserved it. And when you're little, you believe it. You deserve it. That's why it happens to you. But even as a little girl, I knew that was a lie. I didn't deserve that. From the time I was 11 and till from that time till I was 11, we moved again numerous times. My mother died when I was 11 years old from cancer. I had always been the mother as long as I can remember. I don't ever really remember being a little girl. I was always the mother. So much so that my baby brother, until my mother passed away, called me mommy, not her. She spent the last 3.5 years in the hospital quite a bit. I clean very well. Unlike Amia, I don't enjoy it. I cleaned, I cooked, I did laundry. I got 5 of us ready for school in the morning, took the 2 younger ones to the neighbor for babysitting, took us to school, came home at lunch, did lunch, went back, came back, did dinner. And I remember doing that for the last 3.5 years of her life. When she passed away, my stepfather gave my relatives an option of either taking us or putting us in an orphanage in Cleveland where we lived then. So we had relatives literally across the country that took one of each of us. So again, we were separated from one another. I moved 16 times after my mother passed away, from one relative to another, from this place to another. I did get to see my siblings for a short period of time when her youngest sister, who was 19, who had just got married, gathered all 5 of us together so that we'd be together. When you've been an adult all your life, it's very hard to all of a sudden be a little girl. You don't know how. Needless to say, I had some issues. And so I was moved quite a bit. I was sent to live with my grandmother at 13. She was much, much up in age. She didn't know what to do with a 13-year-old, and I didn't know what to do with a grandmother. So I had pretty much free rein to come and go wherever. I was walking home from school. One day, we lived in a small town in West Virginia then. The enemy can't hold it over you if you speak it out loud. If you give it to God, he can't hold it over you anymore. And this week, God really impressed that upon me. When I was walking home, it was late, and a man pulled me in the car and raped me in the back seat of his car. All I remember about him is how big he was and that he had on a camouflage army coat. The things he said to me terrified me so much, I never spoke that to a living soul for 2 years. Recently, our life group did a thing that involved camo. And I literally hadn't thought about that in all these years, literally, until I was sitting in Cindy's living room and they're talking about camo and what we were going to do with it with our kids. And it came flooding back so fast. I told God, why now? Why now? And it was funny because the scriptures, Colossians 3:3, says, for we are hidden in Christ And God told me in that instant, Sunday night, sitting in her room, that even then, I was hidden in Christ, that he was there with me. I wasn't by myself in the back of that car. He was with me. When we left West Virginia, because we moved again, I ended up in Texas. When we got here, I wasn't in any better shape. Worse, probably. I attempted suicide twice after what happened to me. I started to use drugs. And the unfortunate side effect of drugs is you do build up a tolerance to where that's not enough, so you find something else that will numb out everything else. And so I did for a very long time. There's a song that talks about the simple gospel. And in it, it says, I was taught to be ashamed, taught I didn't measure up, that I wasn't good enough. But in it, it says, you were there with me, and no amount of untruth can separate me from the love of God. So all the lies and the things that people said to me and the things that I believed about myself, I know were lies because I know how God sees me, how God works in me. A friend of mine who's here nagged me, and I do use the word nag because that's an understatement of what she did. She nagged me and nagged me for months about, come to church, come to church. And I said these words to her, I'll go for two and only two conditions. I'm going high, and you're never to ask me again. And she promised she'd never ask me again. I went with her that night, and I laughed, and I made mockery of the things he was saying. So much so at one point she elbowed me because apparently I was a little loud, a little not so sweet. And suddenly he got real quiet, and it was a small little building. And he said, God will take you just as you are. And I started laughing out loud and said, sure. I said this out loud. There's no way God would take someone like me. He turned around. And he stood there for a minute, and I thought, well, maybe he heard me. And then he started talking again, and he started singing a song called Just As I Am, an old hymn, I think. And in it, it says, the Lamb of God, his blood was shed for me. And he said, he's talking to you. And I just let it go by again. And he turned around and he motioned like he was going to come to me, and it kind of freaked me out. I thought, okay. And I nudged up against her and I said, if he comes here, I'm leaving. And he turned around and he stepped about three pews down and he said, you sit here and you say that you're unlovable and that God can't love you. He said, but he does. And he said something that to this day I tell youth, that there's one step between, 1,000 steps between you and God, but there's one between him and you. You just have to step in. And I did, and I'm telling you, in an instant, I was sober and delivered from so many things, so many things. I didn't have enough wisdom or people in my life to talk to me about getting into the Word for me, or finding a healthy place to be grounded, to grow. Unfortunately, when you are that age and you have the issues that a lot of us had then, you tend to get roped into things that you don't understand. And I was, as I call it now, recruited into a place that there was one leader. He was the only one that could hear God. He was the only one we were taught could discern God, and that I or anyone else wasn't spiritually minded enough to hear from God. I had friends and family do everything they could to drag me out of that place. But you're conditioned to know that if someone's trying to do that, that must be Satan trying to pull you away from the truth. And even when God was speaking to me and I could hear it so clearly, I could have it reasoned out when I would say, but God showed me such and such, or God made me feel this. And it could be reasoned out that that's the enemy trying to pull you away from the truth. It took me 5 years to get out. And I do mean get out. 5 years. The destruction in that 5 years was huge, because that's what I thought Jesus was. That's what I thought God was. I stayed away for a very long time because I thought, that's it. I was doing much better in the condition I was, one way or the other. But God led me to a place through a young girl that had some of the similar things in her life that I had in mine. And I thought, oh, how cool that somebody, you know, God sent somebody. And that little girl led me into a church that was healthy and strong. And in that place, I learned who I am in God, that I hear God, that God speaks to me, God uses me. Doesn't matter what I was, it's who I am in God that makes all the difference. I joined the worship team after a while. A few years into it, I met my second husband, who played guitar on the worship team, a really gifted, talented musician. Before him, I had three children. Two of my boys live here in town. Mike, of course, still lives with mom. My daughter in Dallas. And between my middle son and my youngest son, I lost my daughter Shannon at 4.5 months old. And I remember talking to God and asking God, why? Why? And I was in the hospital, and they brought a baby into me because it was time for nursing. And I told the nurse twice, that's not my baby. And she thought I was just tired. And she came and she tried to put this baby in my arms. And I remember just breaking down crying and say, but God, why? It took a lot to get past losing my little girl. And a lady came to me that had no clue what I'd been through, zero. And she was a stranger. I can tell you her name still. Her name's Emma Jean. She's from a little tiny town in the middle of nowhere past Pleasanton. And I was at church, and she was ministering, and I was doing my thing, and went to walk off stage after we did worship. And she came over to me, and she took my hand, and I went to greet her like I did Cindy and everybody else. Hey, how you doing? And she said, God said he has a promise for you. And I'm like, you know, you nod, okay. You know, it's a simple word. Everybody can get that one. Everybody, God has a promise for everybody. And I kind of nodded politely. And she grabbed my hand, and she clasped it in hers, and she said, you're not listening. She said, God said that he has a promise for you, and it's coming. A million things went through my mind. A million things. And she said, it's what you prayed for. Only God knew what I prayed for. He is my middle son. He's an incredible, funny, sarcastic man that I'm so proud of. And had God not let Shannon go be with him, I wouldn't have Jordan. He wouldn't be my middle son. He wouldn't be the biggest clown in my life. I learned through a whole lot of things. In Romans 8:28, it talks about all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And sometimes what we go through in our life is not so good, by our own hand, by our own choices, because God's so loving in that way, he lets us make our own choices. But through it all, he still uses our poor choices. He still uses the things that happen to us that nobody can make sense out of, that we can't wrap our brain around how something so terrible could be used for something so incredible. I know there's only a handful probably of people in this place that I've shared certain things with. It's because, number one, I trust them. I trust who they are in God. I trust who they are in my life. I trust who they are to my son. My little one's father had some several different things happen that he started using pain medications. What worked for a while didn't work anymore. And so pain medications escalated. They escalated to a point that he wasn't able to control anymore. When those weren't available, he turned to something that three times almost literally took his life. And unfortunately, he almost took me and Micah with him. My son spent a lot of time the last 3 years, my husband and I were together, staying with his grandparents, or staying with my middle son three doors down because he couldn't be in our home. After three attempts at rehab, he was sober. So much so, things changed so much that he sat with Kelly and Jay one day and said, I'm going to talk to them. And I'm like, oh, okay. I had no clue what he was going to tell Kelly and Jay that day. And he shared things with them that he'd never shared with anybody in his life until that day. And I sat there real quiet and just listened, astounded at what he was sharing, because he felt like God had taken him full circle. And it was so funny, because when we came up for communion, I stood inside this circle on the floor that in all the years I've been here, I've never noticed this circle before. And that's what he talked about, God bringing him full circle. How God delivered him. God began to work in his life again, and he ended up back playing guitar on this worship team at the time. About a year after rehab, he wasn't doing so well. And all the signs and symbols are there. You just don't want to see that they're there. Someone asked me, why have you stayed? Even his own parents, why have you stayed? And I said, I only know when I prayed, God said to stand still and pray. He didn't tell me to run. He didn't tell me to divorce him. He said, stand still and pray. And so I did. 2015, he left me and Micah because we had intense fellowship, as I call it, over using and what it was going to do to us again. He left, and for the first time in almost 11 years, God said that it was okay. We've been divorced now about a year and a half. What God has done in mine and Micah's life in the last 2 years is nothing short of miraculous. His unbelievable, amazing grace in our life. There are no words. God has placed people in our life, around us, that have encouraged us, that have prayed for us, that have lifted us up. in the last year, and I'm not sure how long Cindy's been here now. It feels like forever now. She's family. It's done. She moves. I'm going with her. I never understood why some of the things that happen with me or to me. And in the last year or so, coming on Wednesday nights, I've learned so much about me, who I am in God, and that it's okay to be who I am in God. I don't have to look like so-and-so or talk or sing or walk like anybody else. I'm who God created me to be, how he wired me. I never understood why I felt things so intense sometimes, so much so that it would just unnerve me, like, okay, don't get near me. Until I sat through, I think it's Redemptive Gifts. And when she started to teach on certain things, it hit so hard that all I could do was go home and just lay out on my floor in the kitchen and just cry out to God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because for the first time in my life as a woman of God, I understood he wired me that way. He designed me that way for his purpose. The destiny that God has for me, I know belongs only to me. And all the things that have happened in my life, I'm just part of the picture. It's his story, what he's done through it all, how he's carried me through it all. I don't know. And I know it's old. I don't even know how old. The song that says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds it. I don't know what's in front of me, but I know who's walking, who's guiding me. All I have to do is listen. The freedom that I've found in who I am as a woman of God has never, ever, ever been so strong as the last 2 years of my life. Never. To know that no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like to anybody else, that he is going to carry me through. He is carrying me through. I have this beautiful, incredibly tender-hearted little boy. Incredible. And whenever things aren't so smooth, we've started a new word in our group. We're not using it. What is it? Atmosphere. We don't use it at my house. It was a bad thing when we tried. Instead, he said, can we use the word hug instead? So when things don't feel right, or you do something, or I say something, he said, instead, can I just hug you? And so instead of atmosphere, we say hug. So that no matter where he is and whatever's going on, nobody knows what that means to him but God. And so for the last several days, praying about standing up here in front of lots of strangers, okay? So many times I felt like I was like this. And I had lunch with Kelly Tuesday, and I just told her, pray and pray hard. I said, one of two things will happen. They'll either all stone me in the first 10 minutes, or they'll all leave saying, what was Jay thinking? And Cindy's lost her mind. And so talking to her, it was just funny. And then today I called her because I was sitting in my kitchen playing a song and crying out to God and singing. And the presence of God felt so strong in my kitchen today that I called Kelly, and she thought something was wrong. And she said, let me pray for you. And then I'm trying to explain to her how incredible the presence of God has been since I put on paper some of the things that I've held in my heart for so long. Because I still felt shame. And never realized it until the last several days. And it was so funny because tonight, standing back there, she said, when I picked this set and I chose Nana and blah, 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 it was so hysterical because one of the songs we sang up here talks about my shame being undone. And I'm telling you, that's what God's done. Anything that was ever put in my mind, and most of all in my heart, is undone by God. I was reading something when I picked up Micah in the car waiting for him to come out. In Romans 8:38, it says, "In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ." It's that simple. Nothing. If you read the scripture, there's not one single thing you can think of that doesn't fall under that. Not one person, not one issue, not one hurt or sadness or illness. Not one thing doesn't fall under this. That there's nothing in me that I can't conquer as long as he's in me and I walk it out. Nothing. Through the transformation series, I don't know how many people I've told, you got to come to Wednesday. You just got to come to Wednesday. And I always joke that the people that are here on Wednesday grow in a way, it's almost like, you know, feeding a baby red meat and saying, "Here you go, kid." You just, whew. And there's no way that you can come and not feel that when you come in here on Wednesday. There's no way that you go home and you don't think about so many things that God spoke into you in that short little period of time. I know that there's freedom in him. I know there's freedom in what he has for me. I used to believe that I wouldn't see heaven until I went there. That it's some far off place that I can't touch. That you have to die to get there. You know, I used to talk about, I'll see my daughter when I get there. You know, I'll see my mother when I get there. You know, when I get there, but it is here. It's right here. I don't have to wait until he takes me to know what heaven feels like. I don't have to wait to bring heaven down to me, to meet me right here. That it's so simple. It's so simple. There's nothing complicated. It doesn't matter how horrible people think your life has been or what it looks like to anybody else. It only matters how it looks to God. That's all, how it looks to God. To God, I am more than a conqueror. To God, I'm beautiful because he created me. To God, only I can walk in the destiny he has for me. No one can fill those. Kelly can't stand in it for me. Cindy can't. Pat can't. Nobody can stand in that place that's meant for me. If you get nothing else out of how incredible God is, no matter what circumstances, no matter who's with you or against you, no matter how hard it is to be a mother with an 11-year-old son, because Lord knows there are days. No matter what it looks like, God's goodness overshadows all of it. God's goodness carries us. God's love makes everything right. Even if it doesn't feel like it sometimes, God's love makes everything right. I've never known such freedom in all my life as I do now. And I sat today and I told Kelly, I'm not good at this. You know, unless God wakes me up in the middle of the night, then I can't shut this off. But today I sat there and as I wrote it, things came that I had so far stuffed in a hole, like the camo, so far stuffed it in a hole. But now he and no one else can hold that over me. Free, free, free. What is it Martin Luther King said? Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. After tonight, free at last, free at last. I can walk it out. I can walk it out and know how precious I am to him. How precious I am to him. And if it doesn't change anybody's life but mine, I told God I'm okay with that. If it's just mine, I'm okay with that. I'm telling you, it's changed mine this week so much. It's changed mine. And I'm so, so thankful that God opened a door with one more Chris in this house and one more Cindy in this place to minister to me in a way that God so knew I needed. So I'm ready for whatever it is that God has for me. I'm ready for wherever he sends me. I'm ready because I know it's freedom. It's freedom. It's freedom. Whatever it is that holds you, whatever it is that's unspoken that you stuff so far down that only God knows, let it go. That's my encouragement to you, let it go. Because on the other side of that, there's so much more for you. Let it go.
All right, so there's some earned authority in that story. Hold on, you can't go nowhere. Because you get to make the enemy pay now, see? See, when we tell our story, when we tell God's story in our story, right? Like regardless of what the enemy tried to do in our story, when we tell God's story in our story, there's victory in that and there's power behind it. And there is an earned authority. So we have positional authority on some level. Like she's a mama, so she's got some positional authority over her son. But she has positional authority in Christ, but she also has some earned authority because she's walked out some stuff in her life that now she gets to make the enemy pay for, ever messing with her or her family. So I'm going to encourage you to pray and release with authority a declaration of anything that might be in this room, in this house, in anyone else's story, in the generations that are represented, in the neighborhood, like as far as you can, as far as you can declare. Oh, yeah, you can. Because listen, there's no time or space in the kingdom. There really isn't. There's no time or space in the kingdom. Like I get that this is recorded and someone else might hear this later, but any person in here that can tap into any part of her story, you grab hold onto the freedom that's about to get released in here if it's still there. Or anyone that you've been praying for, like she's been praying for. Anybody else that sounds like it has a similar testimony in that, she has some earned authority to release a breakthrough in that because of the freedom that she has found in the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's a place of authority there to pray and to intercede and to declare freedom. So Chris, I'm just going to encourage you just to pray as the Lord leads, and then I'll finish up. Whenever you're done, you just hand me the mic. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. And just release whatever the Lord wants.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I declare that there is freedom, not just in this house, Lord, not just in these people, Lord, but on this land, in this place, in this place around us, God, that there is freedom for them, Lord. Freedom in this place, Jesus. We declare white as snow, Lord. We just declare freedom from anything, Lord, that holds us back, anything that keeps us captive. Lord, we just pray that every chain be loosened in this place, every chain be loosened in our lives, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. We praise you, Lord, for such freedom. Such freedom, Lord. Such freedom, Lord. We declare promises to be fulfilled, Lord. Promises that were given. Even those, Lord, that sit here and still say, not me, not me. Lord, speak to them. Speak to them. Thank you, Jesus. Declare freedom over every house, every child in this place, Lord. Every child in this place, Lord, let there be freedom. Protect them, Lord, from anything, Lord, that's not you. Any voice that speaks against them, Lord. I just ask that you just speak to their hearts, God, and let nothing, nothing come in that's not you, Lord. We declare protection over them and that there be freedom throughout the children in this house, Lord. Throughout the children in this house, Lord. That they not be held captive by anything, Lord. Not any word. Not anything, Lord. We just declare those things for them, Jesus. We declare those things, Jesus. In your precious name, Lord.
And Father, I just thank you that right now this new wind and then this new sound kept coming back to me. And God, I thank you that right now that you are releasing a new thing tonight, Father. As you are releasing a new wind and a new sound, Father, I thank you that you're extending that territory. And we declare freedom, God, to everyone. We declare freedom to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. We declare freedom in this neighborhood. We declare freedom from drugs and alcohol. We declare freedom from all addiction. We declare freedom from pornography. We declare freedom from all sexual sin. We just declare freedom, Father, from any religious spirit that wants to bind up and to control like cult-like activity. God, we release freedom right now. I release life and light into every dark place. Father, I release right now the angelic to go forth, ho, and to blow your trumpets into the neighborhood and into this region. God, I thank you that you are releasing a new wind and a new sound right now. I hear the horns blowing and I just see angels, streams of angels are flowing out of the doors and going up and down the streets and the highways and the byways. Father, I thank you that you're releasing right now freedom and deliverance, God. We are releasing life and light into this neighborhood. We declare West Side belongs to Jesus. God, we declare that every family that's in bondage, in poverty, in mentality, or in finances, God, we release life and favor and blessing. God, we release freedom into this neighborhood. Father, that there will be such a transformation that they will know that heaven showed up here, that Jesus showed up and was revealed, God. And I thank you that you are doing it. You are going ahead of us. You are going ahead and you are doing it, and it is already finished. I thank you, Father, that right now people are waking up, that right now chains are being lifted off, that right now the taste of alcohol is dropping from their mouth, that right now, God, that whatever that stuff is, God, that has distracted them from you, that you are releasing freedom. You're releasing hope, God. You're releasing hope again. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're releasing hope, that there is hope, God. There's hope in you. Hope. God, I thank you. You're calling us to a whole other level, to see the way that you see, to say what you're saying, God, that there is hope and freedom in you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We will see it. we will see it. We have seen it. We have declared it. God, testimony means to do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again. Multiply the freedom that you've released in Chris's life and to everyone else that we can extend our sound to, Lord. Release freedom. We thank you, Lord. You are so good. Lord, would you unlock our ears, our eyes to a whole other way to hear you? Lord, to discern your spirit. Lord, I love that in Chris's testimony, you continued to woo her over and over and over again. I thank you that you are a redeemer. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for each one that's listening, God, would you take us into our story and would you just continue to look, help us to look with your eyes into our story and to see you, to see where you were and what you were doing and how you were always with us. And that he who began a good thing, a good work, will accomplish it to the very end. I thank you, Lord, that you know the end of our story. Thank you, Lord, that you're Redeemer. And we are more than conquerors in Christ. Thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whew. Thank you, Chris. Awesome. Let's give her a hand one more time. All right. It takes courage to share your story, right? To break out of shame is to put darkness into light places and to say, that wasn't me. Just because it happened doesn't declare my identity. He gets to say who I am. That's so big. So good. All right. So for the last few minutes here, we're going to do a little activation. We're going to do some practice. Okay, awesome. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and pray and let's dismiss us, and y'all just keep practicing, you know, with one another and just asking the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for everything that you are doing, the stuff that we get and the stuff that we have no idea. Lord, we just say yes to you, and we ask for more. We say yes, and we ask for more. Lord, we love that there's so much more in you, and we want to be the kids that play in your kingdom. So may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives and all the lives that we have influence over, every place where our feet go. Lord, let your wind and that new sound go with us. We love you, God. Keep us safe, keep us healthy, and we all return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.